minute, Crossfade.
The Daily Talk Show.
A conversation sometimes worth recording with Josh Jensen and Tommy Jacket.
It's a Daily Talk Show, episode 126.
What is
going on, TJ?
Mate, sitting inside. You know, heat has become crack in the winter. James walked into my office before and he goes, "Dangerous, mate, dangerous." Because I was like really close to the heater with it on. Nah. Steps away from it. He's like, puts his hand out to feel it. Ooh. It's like once you sort of sit in front of one, you're done. You're done.
Yeah. Well, he wasn't referring to being dangerous in the sense of you were too close.
He didn't give a shit about my safety. It was more about the addiction that you get once you sit in front of the old heaters.
Well, I feel like there is a safety issue because you told me that that heater got a bunch of rain on it. You're like, oh, yeah, I got a heap of rain on it. And it still works.
Yeah, we're cowboys over here, bro. That was the one at home. The owners of the house that we're renting, they were like, oh, you guys can just have this heater if you want. And then so we put it out on the balcony and then it started raining. And then we took it in about 2 months later and we're like, maybe we should just check if this still works. And it did. And so yeah, we didn't have to go to Bunnings and buy a new one. So I was happy about that.
Perfect. Man, my voice, can you believe that a week and a half, I don't think we've had like a normal show where I haven't sounded sinusy.
Me too, though. It's gone. It's like I got you sick through the microphone.
Impossible. But anyway, we've been getting some great emails lately. Cindy sent a really nice one about the about starting a new job and listening to the show. Thank you, Cindy.
That's right, Cindy.
And a bunch of people.
If you are listening, she left her address on the email, so I'm going to send her some stickers.
Yeah, great. And there's we also got Trevor Long said how badly you fucked up the pronunciation of the different phone companies.
But he put a caveat in there that it might have been him as well. But Trevor is probably my fuck up, mate. And
bit of both.
You actually said, "Oh, can you pull up that email? Can you read those out?" You were throwing me under the bus because you would have had no hope of doing it. I realized
no idea.
As soon as I did it, I was like, "Oh,
no idea."
Shit. Also, I got a message from Penelope. She was up in Shepparton. She used to work with me on the street team, but then moved to Shepparton. Actually, I think she moved into my house, and she was hearing the story about the mouse that I killed under the.
Are they still there?
Yeah, I don't know. She's not there. Definitely mice there, but we've all fled.
I also wanted to mention Danny's email too, who sent a really nice email and said, you know, he would love some stickers and spread the word. And then he said, having said that, Josh's travel log is a bit boring, but probably only because I couldn't give a fuck about the places you're going. It's a fair point, Danny.
Yeah, fair point. But he also cares about you. So it's this two-pronged thing. It's a conundrum. Yeah, very much so. I went last night to an event held by Vice, you know, that media organization that does edgy content, for anyone out there that doesn't know. But it was like a panel discussion. And I was going with my mate Ryan, who we've had on the show, Ryan John. And we got to the building in the city and we got to the elevator and we hit the button. There was another guy standing there and we kind of all got into the lift together. And I said elevator, I meant lift. Anyway, so we all got into the lift together and then we pressed the same button. So we're obviously going to the same event. And then he goes, this other guy we didn't even know leans out and he's like, "Hey, are you Tommy?" Yeah. He's like,
"Oh, this is good.
Daily Talk Show." And
bullshit.
I swear. So his name's Harry. We ended up sitting with him. Absolute legend from Sydney. I've never met him before. He's a filmmaker. So shout out to Harry. And he reckons he knows you, or he's met you.
That's Harry Roth from Orange.
Yes.
Yeah, I know Harry. Man, he does some awesome stuff. He's he actually came to, he grew up in a country town and basically converted his shed on like some sort of, I'm going to say it's farmland, but it might have just been a big property. He converted it into a big film studio.
Well,
and I subscribed to his email.
It's probably better than half the other people in Orange that have converted their sheds into meth labs, because there's a there's a big meth problem there, and Shepparton. So he's
well, he's also using a lot of hot lights as well. So he's probably surprised he never got a knock on the door for his energy bill.
They're doing a flyover with the heat detector helicopter. Harry's house gets raided.
He's got a few redheads.
But he was a legend, and he said he'd been listening to the show from early days. So, yeah.
Oh, amazing.
I mean, that's...
Yeah, so good. How was the... So, this Vice thing, what was the deal? What was it all about?
Oh, it was a... Ryan sent it to me and said, mate, you keen on this? And I said, are you going? He said, I'll go if you go. So, I said, I'll go. And then we went. And it was like an interviewer or moderator from Vice, and there was three panelists, a creative, a marketing person, and a strategist. The strategist, he was this French dude. All I wanted to do was have him speak the whole time because his voice was so awesome. And so they were just talking about content. You would have enjoyed it. One of the things, the content person, the creative, she called herself, she isn't a creator, but she's a creative. So she's just coming up with ideas for brands, for briefs that are probably coming towards them. But something she said was, she's like, oh, a prediction is that, 5 years' time, or, the really short micro content is on the way out. And what's going to come in a big way is this long form content that, big brands are going to put money behind. So Coca-Cola will be doing films, brought to you by Coca-Cola. So it's like a Netflix series brought to you by Coca-Cola. Not the specific, connection between Netflix and Coca-Cola, but in terms of brands funding longer form storytelling documentaries, which I thought was, something that we're moving towards doing more of.
I think that this idea that something's going to completely go isn't really true. I think that people probably overbake that. Like, they call this longer form stuff BVOD. It's like broadcast video on demand, with this idea that you spend a bunch... it's like TV, but within the context of streaming or stuff like that. But look at stuff like Insta Stories. Like, yes, there is IGTV, which is moving to, longer videos. But, man, Insta Stories is like crack. I spend so much time just clicking through, and you can actually tell a really compelling story. So, I think that probably it's just taken way longer for the mainstream media and also the big, the longer form production houses to be able to see the value in a streaming only or online only offering, because it's hard to monetize.
Yeah.
But as soon as they work out the monetizing thing, then I think there's going to be every different type of content. And yeah, I guess that's a good opportunity for us, right? From creating longer form stuff.
Yeah. And the strategist guy was talking about, and he said this thing with real conviction, and I had the sense that people were like, you've lost it, mate. He was saying that you're not listening to me. He said, you're all in the room. You're not listening to me. You're predicting a few seconds ahead of me of what I'm saying, which means that it's like this idle. There's no disruption in the communication that I have. So you're kind of just floating along. And I kind of did get what he was trying to say. He's like, he's talking about creating things that disrupt that line of thinking where you're just kind of consuming and you're just, okay, I can tell kind of what's going on here and what's happening. And so it's like disrupting that pattern of people predicting what is coming up next from the person, what they're saying. It's another... I think the reality is when you're on a panel, you're trying to say profound shit and you're trying to...
Yeah, panels are hard. I think they're probably easy to do in the sense of... but it can get a bit sort of circle jerky and a bit just sort of nothing of true substance coming out of it. What have you been consuming lately? Like, do you find that you spend, are you spending a lot of time on YouTube? I know I went through a stage of just like every morning waking up, going onto my TV and watching YouTube. Mm. What are you doing at the moment?
I haven't got that habit. I podcasts for me, just driving. Like when I'm in the car, yeah. Just smashing podcasts, audio books. So a lot of audio medium. Maybe it's because we're doing the... I'm editing all day half the time, or creating videos. So it's like I do like it, watching some video content, but a lot of the people that I've been following, they haven't been going hard on making content, so I've kind of tuned out.
Yeah, I think that the other problem too is that content has a bit of a dirty name now. When people think of content, they think of like this specific captioned style video where they're giving some sort of advice.
Yeah.
I think that the advice type content is on the way out. Mm. Like, I think that this idea of just being like a meme looking video with some dude yelling at you. Like, I think that we need more than that, don't you think?
Yeah. Did I tag you in that one? Oh, I don't think I did. I'm going to tag you in one. It's a guy who I know. I don't know him I don't know him well, but he's selling personal training certificate 3 and 4, and he's just yelling. He's just yelling. And people are responding, oh, I wish I had that when I was around. I was like, did you not just feel gross because he yelled at you?
Aren't your ears bleeding?
It's you know how we saw that ad that 7-Eleven did on Instagram.
Oh yes, yeah.
And so it was like
a vox pop.
Yeah.
So a guy was essentially asked. He looked like an intern from the agency that we were sort of joking about.
Yeah.
But yeah, well, tell us more.
And so, in short, he was getting testimonies of people who really like 7-Eleven, $1, $2, $3 coffee. And every one of them...
Funnily enough, Peter Shepherd was in the video.
They, all of them... And it just had this bit of a gross stench because everyone was like, yeah, it's the most creamy, beautiful coffee you could ever have. And it was like... It seemed legit in what they were saying, but it didn't seem fake. So my point is, like, they weren't overly sarcastic in their delivery of this. They were... Obviously just said, oh, what do you think? Yeah, it's great. It's like almost like taking a bit of the piss. And Ryan John, yeah, who I was with last night at the event, he asked a question. He kind of talked about this and he said, like, is it diminishing returns in creating this testimonial, which is like 100%, there's not going to be a negative testimonial. Every one of them is going to be amazing and spruiking the brand. Like, is that detrimental to the brand? And the this is the only time I didn't want the French bloke to be talking. Because he said that, yeah, he didn't agree in... He said 7-Eleven are a tongue-in-cheek brand, and that seems like that was, you know, really down their alley. And then I grabbed the mic and I said, yeah, you can also get sarcasm wrong. And everyone laughed, which was...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't think... I don't know if it was sarcastic, no, was it? Like, I definitely didn't get that vibe.
That's what I mean. He had to say something up on the panel, and he was talking like he's seen it. But, yeah, I just think there's another approach to doing testimonial videos in the common day, where it's rather than just people talking about how good the brand is. That doesn't work. So I think you see there is like a there's periods of time where things work, or, you know, we're not calling bullshit on everything. But then for some reason there gets to a point where it's just an overload of it. Like you're saying, all those videos of people just shouting advice at you. It's like it becomes a point where it's not advice anymore. It's annoying.
But I also think that what happens is that some of these things start off in a pure form where it's quite good. I don't know who it says, but someone, there's a, sort of a famous dude who says, marketing ruins everything. And if you think about it, it's like, think about the early days of Twitter or even Instagram. And it's this single feed where you see everything, and then all of a sudden marketers come in and they're, you know, there's a desire to make money from it.
So true.
And I guess I think where we're seeing it as well is it's the faux authenticity. It's this, I think that what probably marketers are realizing is people want authentic content. The problem is that they're trying to make content that looks authentic that at its heart or core isn't authentic, which I think complicates it even more.
Yeah, when you when you're trying to deliver something authentic to sell a product, and that is a very strong emphasis, the part about selling the product, it's like it's negative to the authenticness, authenticity of it. It's a
yeah,
it's interesting. Are you seeing much, like, while you're traveling, different marketing, different approaches that the Italians are having at content?
I was saying to Brie, I reckon the bikini model, like when you, you go past like the bikini, like swimwear stores and stuff, the boobs on the models tend to be bigger. I don't know why.
All right,
I don't
know if that's a European thing. You're just really keeping an eye on the fucking JJ mannequin's tits.
JJ bring a bit of smut. JJ finally brings a bit of smut to the show. No, it was just an observation. I guess it was maybe that. I don't know if that's a cultural thing. Hi at thedailytalkshow.com if you know why. Like maybe just generally a little bit curvier.
Yeah.
In the model in some cases. Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know.
I literally went past one store and noticed it.
Yeah. And what about, like, are you getting different ads being pushed to you through your phone?
No, I'm getting all Australian stuff. So obviously,
Aussies yelling at you advice.
Yeah, no, I'm just getting sort of the standard shtick. But yeah, I think the thing that I've been thinking about is, and Michael Dixon spoke about this on LinkedIn, I believe, as well, who's a awesome sort of like speaker and facilitator of cool ideas and shit. Anyway, he was talking about the idea that when he was traveling, he could travel and disconnect and almost like rebrand on the way out, right? So you spend 3 months traveling, people haven't seen or heard from you, and you come back with this new ideas, new knowledge. And the thing that I am slightly struggling with is this idea that I still am slightly tethered to home. So I've got my Instagram where I'm getting ads served to me that are in English, that are Australian specific. I'm getting up every morning, every weekday morning and doing this. And so I do worry that maybe I'm missing out on some form of that sort of cultural experience by not being fully detached.
Fuck, is this your way of saying we're not doing the show anymore?
No. It's, but this is also the other thing too, right? It's I think it's the reason why it's really good, and it's also like it's that thing, it's a compromise, right? I think that it's a the thing with doing this show is like we're working on a much longer game. And I think I've, you know, done the calculations or whatever and been like, I'm better off doing this and working on this because it would be a shame, because the reality is that this trip is 3 months and then we'll be continuing, you know, the podcast has 10 years in it. Whereas, you know, I don't know. What's your view on it? How do you think you seeing my experience, what would you sort of filter and change?
Yeah, I think it'd be worth sort of tuning out of that social noise from Australia, and then I can just be your correspondent on the ground here. Because you're right, it's like when I said, "Did you hear about the Tatsuloto thing?" Yeah, fucking heard it. Hitchy,
yeah,
Peter Hitchener posting about it. It's like, yeah, you can totally be in the loop on the other side of the world and feel like you're amongst it. But are you getting a sense that you actually, Danny's tuned out right now. He's just held the horn down in his train to fucking drown out the noise of this show.
It's just plowing into pedestrians as he goes through the, he's done, he's retired.
You
probably can't make that joke, actually. I take that back. That's probably like within the train thing, it's probably a real fucked up thing they have to deal with. People fucking jumping in front of trains.
Yeah, go on. I can imagine. But are you actually immersing yourself in the culture? Like, you look like you're getting pissed every day, so I'm proud of you. What's that's immersing yourself?
We've been having we've definitely been having a little bit of wine here and there. No, I think I'm generally the areas that I'm noticing where I'm getting out of my comfort zone is around the like language. Mm. So where we are right now, I can't remember now. What is it, Breeza? Serrano? No.
Serrano.
Yeah. Serrano. She's fucking yelling it. Serrano. Where we are right now, it's very, I think they call it like slow tourism or whatever. I haven't seen a single tourist, and it's, I haven't heard anyone speaking English. And so that's been a really interesting experience. So it's like going and trying to, where we're staying, the Airbnb, this guy, Chris, the host, he's got three apartments in this medieval village or town, and he's living across from us at the moment. He's like a mix of American and English. He's written a book on Tuscany. Wow. And he's such an interesting dude. And so when we arrive, this is the cultural stuff that I like we arrive, and he was talking about Tuscan bread being a bit shit because basically they don't add salt, they don't add all these things, but they add it to their food, and that's why their food, you know, tastes so good.
Yeah.
But he's like, he makes his own bread. So he made us bread, we got like jam with it, then we went to he said, "What are you going to do for dinner?" And we said, "Oh, we don't know yet. We might just go out and sort of explore. We might go to like the butcher or whatever and get some cheeses and meat and stuff like that." Anyway, he said, "I would normally take you out and sort of help you out with it, but I'm actually got a birthday party that I've got to go to." Anyway, we're in the town walking around trying to find the general store, and he comes out. He was just at like a wine bar that just nearby, and said, "Oh, I've actually got 5 minutes because I need to buy a lemon." So he ended up going and helped us buying all these different meats and cheeses, and then it was a really great experience.
Yeah.
And Bree has been so good at the I feel like I need to get better at the language thing, or just having the confidence just to not nail it. Where Bree is doing, I feel like Bree is doing a really good job of that at the moment.
Talking is Helen.
Just talking. Yeah.
Nah, you just not
being able to, just looking at Google Trap. Well, that's what I've been doing. I've been a bit nodding. More of a mute, whereas Bree, just a lot of smiling and nodding, whereas Bree's got Google Translate out and she was working it.
Yeah.
But what it did get me thinking was around how much we've grown as travellers.
Mm.
Like, do you remember, do you feel like you've grown a lot since you've sort of the early days, what was the first international trip you went on?
Bali with my family, but I went to England by myself, stayed with my cousin, went to Italy. The first time, traveling by yourself is fucking interesting, like without anybody.
Yeah.
No partner. I went to I went to Rome and Florence, but that was like the first time
mm-hmm.
by myself traveling. Interesting.
And what was it like?
Oh, it was great. I met a guy now who's a good friend of mine, but I've got no. Like so you know me, I talk to anyone and most people if I have a fucking chance, but I still feel like that uncomfortable, self-conscious, you know. I think you get over that shit around, people think I'm stupid by myself. I don't know, there's this weird thing. It's probably shift. It was like when I was a kid and then I thought going for coffee by myself, I was felt a bit self-conscious about for some reason, just ego, and then I started loving it. So it's like, yeah, you do more of that, so you get used to being in a space that was once uncomfortable for you, and then it feels good.
Yeah, I think it's about like embracing that, and I think that it goes against our natural, like that lizard brain, right? It's like it goes against that. But I even noticed like when we did a tour. And we went to this vineyard and we had lunch, and they'd sort of said beforehand, we're going to give you different wines that are going to be, you know, best for different parts of your meal, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, I was on a table Brie and I were both on the table with like six Americans from like, you know, all couples or whatever, like all twos, and they were all from different parts of the States. And we got the wine, and you could tell the other tables had started drinking. And I could see that our table, that we were all looking around like, oh, we meant to start or whatever.
Yeah.
And I would have left it. None of us were drinking it yet, and it was like a minute had gone by, and I was like, oh, you know what? I'm going to be the Jason Fox talks about it, who I've had on the show, is like being the jester, and that's one of the things that he sort of tries to do. And I think that I almost felt like maybe I misinterpret the jester thing in some regards, but I was happy to be the fool in that moment and being like, so what's the deal with the wines, everyone? What do we do?
Oh, yeah.
And then all of a sudden, that's like, oh, yeah, oh, let's grab this one. And then everyone started drinking. So, yeah, it's interesting. You've got to get out of your comfort zone.
Well,
but I just noticed how much we've changed since our early days of travel.
Well, I think jester, this is the definition of jester according to Google, a professional joker or fool at a medieval court, typically wearing a cap with bells on it and carrying a mock scepter.
I'll try and be full jester while I'm in the medieval town.
Can you get a hat that is a jester, like a jester hat?
Well, it's not part of my rebrand, but I think we should be able to organize something.
A cap with bells on it, that would be funny. Well, the thing is, dude,
a good look
for maybe about two months of this year, you were literally just staying at home, getting up in the morning, going coffee, coming back, editing, and that was your life. And so this is like,
yeah,
the complete other side. I think there is, it definitely makes you grow as a human, expands your mind, yeah, traveling. And I think what it comes down to is you're constantly uncomfortable. It's not that comfortable traveling. Mm. I mean, it's just pushing, yeah, the boundaries of how you think and feel. So it's, yeah, it's definitely great.
Well, I was reminded of a time we were going into the Airbnb yesterday, and I was like, oh man, it's like such a beautiful view. I'll post just quickly, do you think I'm going too full on with the Instagram stories?
What,
while I'm away
on the Daily Talk Show?
Daily Talk Show,
that was fun. Okay? I mean, yesterday you went a bit hard, but it was a good story. At least, yeah, there was a story there. It wasn't just a gelato.
Yeah, well, I felt like it was a story. Yeah, if people missed it, I rented a car and drove here. Which it all worked out fine. We, I only went the wrong way once, and it was just in a car park area, so that was fine. But when we were coming in, I was just thinking how amazing the Airbnb was, and I noted that there was no TV, which is great.
Good.
And I was reminded of a trip that Brie and I went to in New York when we would have been maybe 21, 22. Actually, no, we would have been like 23. It would have been like maybe 4 or 5 years ago. And we got to the Airbnb and it was really hot in there. There was a few things. But then I told to Brie, oh, there's no cable TV. And she burst into tears.
What, she cried because there was no TV?
she cried because, no, there was a TV, but it just was a DVD player. There was no cable.
Hang on.
What's Brie's it?
You put her. She needs to clarify that story. Not that I don't believe you.
Like, well, she's gone out of the bedroom right now to clarify the story. Come here, please, Breezy. What do you think happened?
It wasn't the cable TV. It was the whole situation
of being with Josh.
The cable TV was the thing that. Exactly. No, it was so funny. But also on that trip, Brie asked me if I thought she'd put on weight on the trip, and I said no. And then she said, no, seriously, I want you to be honest.
Oh, fuck.
I said, oh, maybe a little bit on your arms.
And your thighs.
And
a little bit on your bum. You did say that.
So anyway, that didn't go down that well.
Mate, that's a life trap. That's
Life trap. Baby, life trap. We've done a life. We've managed to do another life trap.
Yeah, you can't. I've been stung with that one many a times. Be honest. Tell me what you think. All right, no problem.
Never be honest. No, don't do it. So, we're here for 7 days.
Well, I'm happy with that because the audio is good and you seem to have internet and you're getting drunk.
I'm glad you think the audio is good. I was a bit worried because the it's definitely, like, it's not super strong internet, but we've worked out. Should we explain technically how we're doing it, or is that boring?
I actually thought it was quite fascinating.
Bree said it's interesting.
I thought it was quite fascinating because it's a way that you probably wouldn't think to do this.
Mm. Yeah, so if you're a radio person or a podcaster, this might be of interest to you. So we've done set up a lot of different ways of doing the show, depending on the situation. Normally, Tommy and I are just recording into a one recorder. We're both together. We have our microphones. It's nice and easy. On the start of the trip, what we used was a technology or a website called IP Down the Line. And it's an equivalent for if you're in radio or you've listened to radio, you might know of what's known as, or if you listen, you probably wouldn't have heard of it, but it's called an ISDN line. And it's like a high fidelity, low latency audio solution, which basically just means that it's like a phone line that's really high quality. So it sounds like they're in the same room together. And so IP Down the Line is a similar solution to that, but it's using the internet rather than a physical sort of phone line. And we started using that, but the problem is that it would, because it was sending Tommy's high quality signal to me, and sometimes it would break down or it wouldn't be great. And so what we've landed on, and this has worked out pretty well, is because we're not doing it live, we have the luxury of being able to do some things in post-production. And what we've found to be the best solution is FaceTime. So we have FaceTime right now. I'm using a program called Audio Hijack, which records Tommy's FaceTime and my audio just as backups. And then on top of that, Tommy's recording locally in software on his computer.
Oh, fuck. I forgot to do that. No, I'm just kidding.
Fuck off.
I'm just kidding. Just kidding.
Oh, my God. Don't do it. My heart sunk. That would have been so... There's going to be at least a show. I feel like that's a joke you can't make because there's going to be a show where you do fuck
yeah,
it up.
Yeah, true. Very true.
But and then so what happens is I then bring it in to post and I actually bring up Tommy's volume level, because Tommy's using what's known as a condenser microphone, which means it picks up a lot more room noise compared to this dynamic microphone, which is it doesn't capture all of that. So because because Tommy's microphone's more sensitive, I actually can bring up the volume of his, and I can actually hear me in the headphones when the volume's really loud. Wow. And I use that to then sync it up, and then so there we go, we have two microphones all synced up, and that sounds like we're in the same room.
It actually works really well. It's
The problem with it is just the slight delay, or like I think that's probably something people might notice, is it's a little bit harder to interject or continue on a story.
Yeah. This is literally establishing a new show from what we did for the first 115. It's like a different vibe. It's changing. Yeah. So I get your feelings, Danny. Drive safely on that
train.
Interesting.
I think, exactly. I think with, and the thing with feedback, I'm reading this awesome book at the moment. I'm only like the first chapter in, called Nonviolent Communication. And it's it's all about the words you use, basically. And violent is a strong word, but it's just like the words we use to communicate and stuff like that. And I think I'm trying to emphasize, I'm really excited to read this book because I think what it will help with is taking feedback and being able to communicate feedback as well. Mm. Because I realize that's where the growth is. And it's also like Danny's concern is the exact concern that we had, but there's really not a way around it. Like we can try better and talk about other things and not talk so much about the travel type of thing. But there's also going to be a difference. And so it's almost just weathering this storm, which is something different. And then by episode, you know, 180 or 200, we'll have nailed this and then we'll be back in the same room.
And we've got a guest coming out every Friday, so not sure who it is this week. Oh, but hey, it's the 10th. There's still one day left to send through an email, hi@thedailytalkshow.com, if you want stickers. you want me to send you out some stickers.
Yeah, absolutely. Michelle sent a follow-up email. She was ropeable that I just didn't send them in the UK. But no, they will be sent. But yeah, hi at the Daily Talk Show. And we can send them internationally as well. Mm. So if you're in, we've got a bunch of people who listen in the US. So if you're in the US, we're happy to sort out how to get that to you. I'm saying that as sort of a bit of a proxy to Tommy's workload. But,
no, I've actually got a good system going on. So I'm actually full-time job now. Stick a sender out.
What does it cost to send, just out of curiosity? What's the administrative fee?
$2. That's great. It's good.
Yeah, good. It's a Daily Talk Show, everyone. Yeah, feel free to send us an email. And if you've gotten this far, I feel like this is probably an episode for the geeks. So if you can leave us a review through the Apple Podcast app, through iTunes, it's much appreciated as well.
All right, guys. See you tomorrow.
Cool. See ya. Bye.